Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 12 action is Rohit Pinnea. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Ro. Rohit, great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be here, Rob.
So, Rohit, it is the season of thanks and the season of giving. So it felt appropriate for us to start by saying, hey, let's share something or some things that we are thankful for. And this can be about your life or the world of sports betting. I'll let you start.
Well, I mean, the big one for me is I'm thankful that we have all these sports again. I mean, we had a sports equinox a couple of weeks ago with pretty much every major sport on the go. We've got seasons going all over the place. We've got NFL, NBA, NHL right now. Rugby's on fire around the world. So it's just nice to be kind of getting back to things. I know, you know, we still have the remnants of COVID kicking around, but I think things are starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy, and sports definitely helps with that. And it's really nice to have that around back.
Amen to that. And for me, I've got four things that I am thankful for. Number one, hosting this podcast, because it is an absolute blessing to be able to wake up and talk to awesome people like you, Rohit, about sports betting. It is absolutely a dream for me. Number two, the Chicago Bulls. As a Bulls fan, this is the most excited I've ever been for the Bulls since the Derrick Rose era. Number three, Sidney Crosby is back for the Penguins, coinciding with a three-game win streak. And number four, as a Steelers fan, Najee Harris. There hasn't been a lot for Steelers fans to be optimistic about, but Najee Harris, that dude is the real deal.
Yeah, man, he's looking legit, and they definitely like to run the ball. So hopefully we'll see more of him, and they don't run him into the ground in 3 years.
Well, right, and that sort of is the recipe for most teams. Hey, let's get him until they're 28, move on. So yeah. Looking back on week 11, it was a good week for us. 2-1 with our picks. The Texans cruise to a win over the Titans. And even though we had them plus 10.5, it is also nice to see them win outright. We, like most of the sports betting world, were on the Dolphins, who defeated Joe Flacco. And it's a shame that this week we're not going to get the opportunity to bet against Joe Flacco. But just know that I am also thankful for the opportunities where Joe Flacco continues to be the starting quarterback and we get to bet against him. And our only blemish was being on the Cowboys. That game versus the Chiefs is a pretty ugly game. I can't say that I enjoyed watching it. But guess what? You're not going to win them all, and we are moving on to week 12. So, Rohit, I'm curious, are there any narratives that you see this week or that you've seen over the weeks that are on your mind right now?
You know what? There's actually a lot of narratives that I really like heading into this week, and I think the biggest one is just two teams that might be heading in opposite directions, and with the Patriots and Titans. And I think this could be a really good one because we've got the Patriots who are just playing better and better, looking more and more like a Belichick team, forcing turnovers, playing great on defense, you know, not asking too much of Mac Jones, but doing exactly what he needs to do. And then on the other side of the theme, we've got the Titans, who had a couple of impressive wins without Derrick Henry, but you kind of had the feeling that the wheels were going to come off this team. And it sort of happened last week. It's a lot of pressure for Tannehill to be under. You have no Julio there anymore, so you have no Jones at wide receiver. A.J. Brown's banged up. Things just aren't looking great. I mean, this line's almost up to a touchdown now, but you've got Vrabel going up against Belichick. It's kind of the master going up against the apprentice, and Vrabel's had some success in the past against the Patriots, more than other coaches can say, but I think it's a really tough position to be in with Tannehill kind of trying to carry things against a Belichick-led defense.
Yeah, and I don't want to be on the Titans. And for everything that you just said, we're seeing the regression. They've beaten the best teams in the NFL, but that was with Derrick Henry, and now they seem like a shell of themselves. But Mike Vrabel sort of has the Patriots number, so I'm staying away from this game at the given moment. I mean, you see all of the reasons why you would want to bet the Patriots. And in sports betting, so often we talk about get comfortable being uncomfortable because all the signals are going in the other directions. But that doesn't mean that the Titans couldn't cover this game, even though what we've been seeing from them doesn't make us believe that they will.
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of it for sure. And I think that's definitely the X factor is the familiarity and the coaching because, you know, that Vrabel you know, there's not many people that can tap into the mind of Belichick, but Vrabel's probably one of them. And it'll be interesting to see what he throws out there, because he's got to have a little, he's going to have a few kinks in that playbook for Tannehill to get anything going, because so much was predicated on the play action before. And that's not really going to have as much success when you don't have Derrick Henry in the backfield.
So, Rohit, when I looked at this week's slate, there's a lot of close spreads, 2.5s, 3s, 1s, which are pretty much coin flips, which gives us some opportunities of value if we're going to be getting the points. But at the same time, any of these teams can win the games. And when I looked at the very first bet that I made, and good or bad, I looked at the Houston Texans laying 2.5 at home, taking on the Jets. And it came out that Zach Wilson is going to be the quarterback, and the 2.5 was with a little bit of juice. And quite frankly, I don't care who the quarterback is, because Zach Wilson, still a rookie, coming off of injury. And for me, I have more faith in Tyrod Taylor than I do whoever's going to be the quarterback for the Jets. So for me, give me the Texans, a team who is 3-1 against the spread on the at home. The Jets, 0-4 against the spread on the road. To me, this seems like a no-brainer. I'm going to do it, even though, is it comfortable giving points with the Texans, one of the worst teams in the NFL? No, but I like what I've seen by Tyrod.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that one. I actually, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of, from the beginning of the season, were like, this Texans team is the worst in the league. But you know what? That might be the Jets. They've been terrible on defense, haven't been doing much on offense. I do think people really sleep on Tyrod. When he's in the game, when it's not Davis Mills throwing for the Texans, they actually have a little bit of success. And Texans' defense isn't quite as terrible as a lot of people think. They were often put in really bad positions by turnovers from the offense. I think with Taylor at quarterback, you're not going to see as many interceptions. You're not going to see as many just bad plays overall. And I do think that, you know, they're going to sneak by with a few more tough games throughout the rest of the year. The Jets look like they're just going to get blown out most weeks. That defense is really, really starting to worry me. They're allowing teams that aren't even good on offense to put up 30, 40 points routinely. And they don't have enough on offense to even come close to keeping up with that. So, you know, looking at things, and this, I'm saying this as a Lions fan, if there's any team in the league that might be as bad as we are, I'd probably say it's the Jets.
And the only caveat I'll give for this, one of the foundational process rules that we like, is when a team is coming off a big win, we like to fade them. So certainly from a spot standpoint, Houston would be a fade that we would love in this situation, but I'm not going to do it. One of the best games that we have on the week, we've got the Colts at home getting 3, taking on the Bucs. And Rohit, I'm curious your thoughts on this game, because the Bucs are a team that are two different teams based on home versus road. Bucs 0-5 against the spread on the road. Vita Vea still out, which is important, because what is the one thing that the Colts love to do? They love to run the ball. The challenge I see, once again, Colts coming off a huge win. Not fun betting against Tom Brady. Not fun betting for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big one. And like you pointed out, the Buccaneers have had a lot of trouble covering the spread on the road. And, you know, the mashup is really what it's going to come down to. Because I think, like you mentioned, Vea is probably going to be out again. Bucs run defense is usually among the top ones in the league, and it's going to need to be, because they are going to have to control Jonathan Taylor. Taylor's pretty much been the reason this Indianapolis offense has done anything. He's just playing so well, you know, catching passes out of the backfield, running, you name it. But if the Buccaneers can control him, I think they're going to have some success on the other side of the ball. This Colts team, they're really good at stopping the run, but against the pass, they're still 20th in the league in DVOA on defense against the pass. Going up against the Buccaneers team that, you know, Tom Brady can still throw it. I'm not sure if Brown's going to play, but, you know, you got Godwin, you got Evans, you got 3 tight ends that can catch the ball. I really like the Buccaneers passing game, and I think they're going to take advantage of that Colts secondary. And really, it's just going to come down to whether or not they can limit Taylor at all. But you know what? I think a lot of the reason the Bucs have had such a hard time covering those spreads on the road is because they've been so big. Giving it just a touchdown, I'm sorry, just a field goal, I think there's decent value to grab the Bucs at -3 in that situation.
Interesting, because albeit I don't feel comfortable, I'm going to be on the Colts getting 3 at home, because I do believe that they can win this game straight up. And
yeah, I mean, five wins in their last 6 games, right? I mean, I think the only loss they had was in overtime to the Titans, and that was with Derrick Henry still on the Titans. So yeah, they're definitely red hot right now.
Right. And I think that this game is a great example of, do either of us feel like there's this super sharp edge that we've got where you're like, oh, you've got a huge advantage here? No, this is a coin flip game to me. So give me the home team getting a field goal. But could the Bucks cover? Certainly they can do that. But welcome to the world of sports betting.
Exactly. That's what makes it so fun.
Exactly. So Rohit, are there any other games on your mind that you want to jam about?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about lines, which are really close, and I think Rams-Packers, you know, that might be the game of the week, and I think that's one that to definitely keep an eye on. I think that's at a pick'em right now. Might be minus one for the Packers. Let me just check the latest odds I have right now. But you know, looking at this line, and yeah, right now we got it at a pick'em, and I mean, you gotta, you know, you're always going to be tempted to take the Packers at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? There's that narrative too. The Rams are coming off a bye week with Sean McVay. You know, this could really go either way as far as the side goes, and I'm not really going to go with the side, but I really like the under in this game. I think the big thing for me is I was just looking at the total for it. It's already creeped down. I think it hit the board at about 50, down to 48. Packers' best under bet in the league. They've gone 7-1 to the under in their last eight. Rams are 4-1-1 to the under in their last six. And I think you're looking at these teams and you see, you know, two great quarterbacks, two teams that are near the top of the league in efficiency. But if you look at the pace that these teams play, Packers play at the slowest pace in the league. They take more than 30 seconds per play. They really like to eat up that clock. You look over at the Rams, they play a little bit faster with Stafford, but that hasn't gone great for them the last few weeks. He's been making mistakes. So I think coming off that bye, you're going to see McVay take his time, lean a little bit more on the running game. You're going to see a little bit more of a chess battle between these two teams. I think we've seen the Packers defense improve in recent weeks until that Vikings game. I mean, it was kind of weird seeing Cousins tear them apart after they shut down Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson in consecutive weeks. But I think, you know, over their recent body, 5 or 6 weeks, I think the Packers defense has improved. And as far as the Rams go, they're strong on both sides of the ball, but I think they're a little bit more consistent on defense. So I think you're going to see a little bit more defense in this game than maybe odds makers originally thought. And definitely leaning towards the under in this one.
Yeah, I like your thought process on that. For me, this would be a live betting game because last week, Packers-Vikings was a great opportunity. I was able to jump on the Packers +8.5 in live betting, knowing that, well, step one, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings love to give second half leads up. And two, when you've got these teams that you know are good and can come back, and in both instances here, I wouldn't be surprised if either narrative. So looking for the opportunity to get three one way or another on either one of these teams. So, Rohit, the last game on my mind for me, Broncos at home taking on the Chargers. Chargers 3-point road favorites, and this was very formulaic for me. What is the thing that the Broncos love to do? Run the ball. What is the thing that the Chargers are not good at? Stopping the run. I also don't trust the Chargers. As we saw in that game against Pittsburgh, boom, they feel like they've got it the entire time. Boom, they give it away. And this is something that's in the DNA of the old Chargers, but we saw it again.
Anthony Lynn.
Exactly. Yeah. And then lastly, this is a division matchup with a home team getting a field goal. Just sign me up for all of that. Because of that, I'm going to be on the Broncos +3.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think this is a bit of a stay away game for me, but I definitely see where your head's at in this one. I think one strength the Broncos definitely have is in the secondary. Herbert's been great, but he's also been inconsistent at times. And like you said, that Chargers run defense is just awful. And I think that they still have some injuries up front as well. And, you know, matchup wise, you know, that's certainly, you know, leaning towards the Broncos. They're getting a little bit healthier on offense as well. You know, I certainly don't, wouldn't overlook them when you're being able to catch 3 points with them at home. But yeah, this is definitely a stay away one for me because at any given moment, I feel like I always bet wrong with the Chargers. So, I think I'm taking a break from betting on the Chargers for a little while.
And Rohit, I have to end this week 12 before we briefly touch about the Thanksgiving game. There was a Falcons laying one on the road taking on Jacksonville, and I am not touching it. But I sat there, and anyone who bets on Atlanta knows that they're a kryptonite. And the first thought in my head was, how is it possible that Atlanta could not beat the Jaguars, a team who is arguably the worst team in the league? And for me, it was just major red flags. Stay away. Do not do this to yourself over a holiday weekend. Do you have any quick thoughts on this? Because the line just looked gross and equally so because both teams are gross.
Yeah, I mean, that was my thought as well. Like you said, a lot of close ones, and this was one of the ones that was a bit surprising. On the surface, you just think, you know, the Falcons, you know, they still have Matt Ryan at least. They still have a few guys, right? But you know what? The Jaguars have played a little bit tougher in recent weeks. You know, they played the run pretty well. You know, just looking at this game, I think the big one for me, this is another game where I'm definitely looking at the total. I think the under is ripe for the picking here. Trevor Lawrence still looks like a very green rookie quarterback. You know, Matt Ryan's Matt Ryan, which means he can absolutely lay an egg at times. And I still don't like their situation when it comes to running the ball or their wide receiver targets or really anything they do on offense. I think we're going to see an ugly game for sure, but it'll probably be a lower scoring one. And this is another one where the total seems a little bit too high. Opened at 48, actually, which seems really surprising. Ticked down to about 46.5 at most books now.
So I love the thought process there because the under makes complete sense for two gross teams. So Rohit, you being a Lions fan, we've got to talk briefly about what's going on for Thanksgiving. And for me, I'm on the under of every single one of these games because there is nothing that says offense like the Bears and the Lions or the Bills and the Saints, two very good defensive teams, and the Cowboys and Raiders. The Cowboys, a team without two of their leading wide receivers. And then I've actually got one prop that I'm rolling with. Give me Tony Pollard over 14.5 yards receiving. And I was on this last week. And once again, with two wide receivers out, there's more opportunities in the passing game. And Tony Pollard over this number, 7 of 10 games this year. I'm curious your thoughts on Thanksgiving Day betting.
You know what? I'm completely with you on the unders all around. That's definitely what I'm feeling as well. You look at that Saints team and, you know, no Kamara, no real wideouts there. Not a real starting quarterback, just caliber starting quarterback there. And, you mean, of course, Lions, Bears, big under there. That's actually one of my top plays is the Lions team total under. And then, yeah, looking at the other game there, I mean, you've got a fairly big number with the Raiders and Cowboys. But the Raiders offense, you've really seen it kind of take a step back. I mean, Ruggs wasn't, you know, the most productive receiver, but he at least stretched the field. And right now with no Ruggs, I mean, DeSean Jackson's not really doing it there. Running game's not really getting going. That offense has really taken a bit of a step back. And, the Cowboys offense might be without, you know, two wide receivers. And, you know, Elliott hasn't looked that great either. So, I mean, looking at all those things, I think you are going to see a little bit more running from both of those teams. You're going to see that game go under as well. But yeah, the big one for me is the Lions. Team total on most books right now is 19.5. They haven't scored more points than that since week one. And that's kind of an aberration because that was against the 49ers. And that was with those two touchdowns and 2-point conversions in the last few minutes in garbage time. So they really haven't hit the 20-point plateau all season, realistically. And yeah, the total for it is 19.5. Bears defense, obviously not quite as good as it has been in years past. You've got some injuries there, Khalil Mack out. But at the same time, I think it's still good enough to handle this Lions offense. I think the big concern for people looking at this game, of course, is the coaching situation, whether or not the team's just kind of given up. We've heard that, Nagy's completely lost the locker room. And if that's true, you know, you might just see this team just kind of roll over. I think you might see really poor offensive performance out of them, but I don't think you're necessarily going to see a terrible defensive performance out of these guys. I think they're still going to come out there. They're still going to hit. And the big thing, of course, is just how conservative this Lions offense is. It's awful. I mean, Tim Boyle last week, 23 passes, 77 yards, but they're not any better with Goff. It looks like they are going to have Goff back this week, but I mean, he's near the bottom of the league in QBR, yards per pass attempt, average air yards. They're not throwing the ball with him either. They don't really have anyone to throw the ball to. The big thing too is this Lions team doesn't even seem to care anymore as far as being aggressive offensively. I watch every single Lions game week in, week out. At the end of games, you know, like third and long, and they're throwing passes underneath. We saw that game last week against the Browns. They never had the ball on the Browns side of the field. Fourth quarter, down by 6 points. They get an interception. All of a sudden, 30 yards away from the end zone. They get to a third and one situation. What do? They kick a field goal. And then the next time they get the ball back, they end up punting with 2 minutes left. Like it's like they're not even trying to win, and they seem almost satisfied to just hang around in games. If they're not getting blown out, they seem okay with that. And I think that's a recipe for disaster. That sort of conservative play calling, I hate it as a fan. I'd rather see them get blown out by 40 than just kind of give up and let themselves lose by 4 or 5. And I think that's going to be a recipe for them going under their team total again.
Tell me how you really feel.
Against my team.
Nah, it's all good, Rohit. So quick recap on my end. I'm on the Texans laying 2.5. I'm on the Colts +3. I'm on the Broncos +3. And I'm on all of the unders in the Thanksgiving games and Tony Pollard over 14.5 rushing yards. Rohit, what about you?
Yeah, for me, the big ones, like you said, I'm on the under for all those Thursday games. Under the, I'm taking the under on the Lions team total of 19.5 on Thursday. I'm also taking the Buccaneers at -3 against the Colts. That's probably the one I feel less safe about. I also like the Patriots to cover against the Titans. And the other one I'm looking at is the under between the Jaguars and the Falcons.
Rohit, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Best way is just on Twitter at @covers_RO.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 12 card? And what are you thankful for in the world of sports and sports betting? You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump, put your up. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.